Good morning. Welcome to worship today. We've been recognizing that Jesus is the light of the world, that at just the right time God sent his son, and God continues to reveal his son even to us through the pages of scripture, through the sacraments. He shares Jesus, the light of the world, with us. And finally, today we get to get practical with our Christmas message and with the good news of Epiphany, that Jesus is the light of the world. Well, what do you do with that light? And how does the light shine not only in the world, but also in your life and in your heart? And then how can you use that light to get the most out of your relationship with God? The Bible calls that repentance, a word we aren't always quick to embrace, but we'll see the blessings of doing so. And then Jesus will get very practical for each and every one of us by taking us fishing. And so we'll look forward to sharing that message with you too. I pray that Jesus, the light of the world, shines in your hearts through the pages of Scripture and our songs this morning. The order of worship that will follow is printed in the worship booklet, and our opening hymn is hymn number 83. Let us worship the Lord. Please stand. And we give our attention to page 3 in the worship booklet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love him and to serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him, and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me,
according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin, and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen.
Almighty God, you sent your Son to proclaim your kingdom and to teach with authority. Anoint us with the power of your Spirit that we too may bring good news to the afflicted, bind up the brokenhearted, and proclaim liberty to the captive. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
The first lesson is recorded in Isaiah chapter 9. Here the Lord promises light for his people. He promises victory. He references a military victory and then says, your Messiah is going to bring even greater blessing and victory than that. Light in the darkness, victory over sin, the eternal rule of Messiah. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. This is the word of the Lord. The psalm of the day is a paraphrase of Psalm 27. We sing it according to the directions in the worship booklet, beginning on the bottom of page 5. The second lesson is recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Here we see what happens when God's people fail to do their proper ongoing maintenance, when they fail to repent and to turn to Jesus and find power and strength in Him. Here we see a division that arose among the people, and St. Paul confronts it and addresses it with the good news of Jesus. And he redirects them to the cross of Christ, where they find forgiveness, and then they find strength and unity in Christ. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this: one of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? I am thankful that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized into my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 4. As has been the pattern in worship, this lesson is a fulfillment of the prophecy from the first lesson. This lesson will also be the basis for the sermon today. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. For the children's sermon, I invite the kids to come forward for that message. All right, we'll meet right in the middle. Good morning. I have two things to show you. Do you know what this is? Leave it, I'll get it. What is this? Do you know what that is?
It's a box.
It looks like a box. This is a filter. It's an air filter, and it goes in your furnace at home. Because did you know that your furnace has to breathe?
No.
It takes all this air in, and then it pushes it back out, and the job of a filter is to get all the dirt and out of the dust out of the air so that when it pumps it into your house, then you have clean air, not dusty air. What do you know about this filter? Other than it's a different color and it's a little smaller, what's the difference?
It's the same, but you used it already.
Okay, you can tell it's been used. What were you going to say?
It's dirty.
Yeah, this one is dirty. This one is clogged. And that makes it really hard for your furnace to work. It's kind of like this. Go like this. Put your hand over your mouth and try to breathe in through your mouth. It doesn't work, does it? But if you take your hand away, can you breathe? Same thing with your furnace. Your furnace works a lot better when it's not plugged up, when it's not clogged up. Today, in our lesson and in the sermon, we're going to talk about a word that is kind of like changing out a filter and doing some maintenance so that everything works better. And that word is repent.
And it's kind of a hard word for us to hear because it means that we've done something wrong and that something that in our life isn't good and it's only hurting our relationship with God and it's making it hard to breathe like this. So Jesus says, repent. You know, turn away from that. Turn back to me and then you can breathe better. Your furnace will work better. You'll have a stronger relationship with God. You'll be a better kid at home. You'll listen to mom and dad better. You will feel closer to Jesus. And then Jesus also says that's how he keeps us on the road to heaven. So I want you to listen for the word repent. And when you hear that word repent, think maintenance, think changing out so that God gets all the dirt out of the dirty filters out of our hearts and lives, gives us a clean one so that we have a strong relationship with God and we can live happy lives for him. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for everything you teach us in your word, especially those things that are hard for us to hear. Today, as we hear the call to repent, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to open our hearts, that we willingly receive and to hear that message. We ask that you would clean out our hearts and clean out our lives with your word. Help us to trust that every time we tell you we're sorry, that you forgive all our sins, that you wash them away. So we thank you for the chance to do some maintenance on our souls today. We ask that you bless us and our families. Keep us happy, keep us healthy, and keep us safe. Amen. Thank you for coming up, guys. We continue our worship by preparing our hearts to hear the sermon this morning with hymn 85.
Jesus, the light who has dawned upon you. Amen.
So, you know, there's a number of reasons that people will update the lighting in their homes. Some of them are very practical. Some of them are out of necessity. Because maybe your home is aging a little bit and you are aging along with your home. And that favorite little nook in your home isn't so well lit anymore and it's getting harder and harder to read. So you need to upgrade your lighting just to make things a little brighter. It's a lot, very practical example. Or maybe it's a safety issue. Maybe you have dark stairs or a dark hallway. Or maybe you have a dark side of your home and you don't know what's going on out there at night, and so you want a sensor. So that when you walk down the hall or you go down the steps or when whoever should not be on the side of your house, it's going to turn the light on and it's going to be safe. Sometimes you just want an upgrade because it'll look better. Maybe add some elegance to the dining area, maybe more brightness to the kitchen area, and so you do a lighting upgrade. Lots of different reasons for doing that. And what about maintenance? Would you agree with me that if you think about maintenance, really three things come to mind? One is going to be maintenance on your home, maintenance on your car, and maintenance on your computer. Because as your home ages, you need to keep up with that and you need to take care of it. Very simple things: mowing the lawn, painting the exterior when you need to, changing the filter in your furnace. I mean, you can push off some of these things and it doesn't matter, but how long is it going to be before the air quality in your house gets bad and one of your kids starts getting sick? Or for me, I have this massive tree out front, drops all kinds of leaves, and if you don't stay up on that, the leaves fall and they smother the grass and you have mud by the time spring rolls around. I did a good job. I was valiant this year, but I stopped doing it for about a week, and guess what happens? Sometimes maintenance is real serious. You need to paint on the outside to keep your home from dry rot, to maintain its value. And what about your car? You know, when someone's trying to sell a car, maybe on Craigslist, they don't tell you, oh, I never changed the oil, or the brakes are horrible. They say, hey, I maintain the manufacturer's regularly scheduled maintenance. I took it to the dealer. Everything is fine, because that means something. It's going to be a good quality car. And same thing with computers, too. Do you have to update? No, but does it make things better? Not always. I know the latest version has been kind of tricky. But usually updates are a good thing, especially when it comes to security, your cybersecurity. You want your kids safe. You don't want viruses. You don't want people messing with them, intruding on them, conversing with them. And so you make sure that your computer is well-maintained and safe. I don't know if you are fishermen and women. I don't know if you enjoy that. If you don't, you're going to have to go with me for a little bit, because Jesus talks about fishing today too. And why do people go fishing? You know, I am not of this crowd, but some people don't go fishing to catch fish. Some people go fishing because it's relaxing and they enjoy it and it's a sport. And I think fly fishermen really have that dialed in. They will research where they want to fish, the time of year it is, the weather conditions. Some of them will even go out a week before they're going to go fishing and they'll see what's hatching in the water. And then they go and they do their research. And sometimes they'll go to a specialty store and they'll buy the right kind of fur and the right kind of thread, and they'll tie their own flies to match the hatch out on the river or out on the stream. And then they'll go and for hours they will cast because they want to get the right cast. They want to land it in the right current, so that their fly ends up in the right pool. Even though they can see the fish and they could probably net the fish, that's not the point. They like being away from everything. They like thinking about nothing except fishing. And it's relaxing and there's a lot of enjoyment for them. It's been about a year since last Sunday, at least in the history of the Gospels. So from the time that Jesus was baptized until now, he was gathering his disciples, he was preaching, he was teaching, he cleansed the temple, drove out the money changers, he changed water into wine, and he had his big conversation with Nicodemus. So that's what has been going on for the last year. Here's what's going on right now. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And so why did these people need an upgrade in their lighting? Some of them, they knew that Jesus was coming. Some of them loved the Lord. Their whole existence was they could not wait to spend time in God's word. They could not wait to get to Jerusalem and go to the temple. They could not wait to pray. They could not wait to take Saturday off. So all they would focus on was Messiah and the love and forgiveness that he would bring. But they needed an upgrade too. It was like there was a dimmer on. And now that Jesus was here, they saw the fulfillment of all these promises, all these prophecies. They got to see the Son of God himself. It's like Jesus turned a light on and they saw more clearly these promises. And they understood these prophecies. And they were blessed by having the light, the darkness of sin in their lives. They knew that Jesus was there. The darkness in the world around them, they knew Messiah had finally come. But there were other people who let their lights go pretty dim. Because there were a lot of people who thought, well, you know what? I'm a good person. It sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? They would say, I go to the temple every once in a while. I make my sacrifices. I make my offerings. I'm supportive of the synagogue. I pray. I don't work on many Saturdays. And they thought because they were keeping these rules, they had the light already. And so they needed an upgrade. They needed to know that Jesus was what all those sacrifices pointed to. Because they weren't looking to him. They weren't waiting for him. They thought, I'm doing pretty good on my own. They needed an upgrade. They needed the light to come and shine in their darkness. And then there were other people, probably the people that we are most familiar with, the ones who thought that Jesus was going to come to Jerusalem and that he was going to cleanse the temple and that from there they were going to go restore face. They're going to make God's people a proud people again. For a lot of them, it was all political. And they needed Jesus, the light of the world, because they weren't looking to God for forgiveness. They weren't looking for a Messiah to come and fulfill any prophecies or promises. They wanted a political leader. And regardless of where they were, Jesus encouraged some ongoing maintenance, whether they just needed a dimmer flipped up, or maybe they had let their light go out, or maybe they weren't even looking for the light. Jesus said, here's some ongoing maintenance for all of you. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus was right there. God's plan of salvation was coming to fulfillment right before their eyes, and they weren't even looking for it. And they had sin in their hearts, they had darkness in their lives, and Jesus wanted them to turn from their sin. Why? To do that maintenance so that they would have benefit from a relationship with him now. Because Jesus wanted to teach them and preach to them now. He wanted to heal their diseases, do miracles for them now. But he wanted to be with them forever in heaven. And many of them weren't on that path to heaven. And many of them were in real danger of losing the light that they had. So Jesus tells them to repent. Turn from that, turn to me, turn to God. Look at the sacrifice I'm going to make for your sins. And those who did, they benefited. They turned and they walked with Jesus. They grew closer to God. And those who didn't, they walked further away from God, further away into the darkness. And then, after the light had been turned on and after they did their maintenance, then Jesus said, now let's go and relax. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Jesus. He said, take some time away from everything and let's go be fishers of men. All right, so now we've talked about everybody but us. And what about you? What about me? Why do we need an upgrade in our lighting? Well, probably because the world can be a pretty dark place sometimes, can't it? It can be a very confusing place sometimes. As Jesus says one thing, we seem to see the complete opposite happening. We need a lighting upgrade because our hearts can be a pretty dark place sometimes, can't they? With our doubt and with our guilt and with our sin. We don't always see Jesus very clearly. We don't always feel very close to Jesus. And so we need a lighting upgrade, and Jesus is our lighting upgrade. And what about our ongoing maintenance? Do you have any maintenance that needs to be done? And I know it's hard for us to hear that word, isn't it? It's hard for us to be called to repentance because that assumes that there is something wrong in here, and God says there is. God says there is sin and there is darkness in our lives. And you know, the funny thing is, what happens as soon as you see a project at home and you start to see, especially if it's impacting the health of your family or maybe it's impacting the overall value of your home, what do? You drop everything and you call someone. You get it fixed. You change the filter. You call in an expert because this is not okay. You don't say, oh no, that's fine, I don't need to do that. Well, sometimes we do and it only gets worse. Or if you have a computer virus or your computer is running slowly, what do? You call IT until they come and fix it. Or you call an expert because something is wrong, it's not working right, and something as simple as your home, something as basic as your computer goes wrong, you want to fix it. But oh, as soon as God tells us to repent, why does our guard go up? Jesus calls us to repent too, because we have some ongoing maintenance, because our hearts and our souls look like this. And that's not a healthy situation. It's not a healthy relationship with our God when we have sin and we have guilt and we have shame clogging our relationship with Him. And not only is it not optional, but we hurt ourselves and we dishonor God when we sin. We do not grow closer to Him. We exclude ourselves from heaven when we say, I have nothing to repent of. Because maybe you're like the people in Jesus' day. I go to the temple, I pray, I give my offering, I make my sacrifices. And it's really only one area of my life that needs work. Really, what if it was just one area, one file on your computer, you would want that gone? What if it's just one cylinder in your car? Well, I want all six to go. I want all four to go. I'm going to get that fixed. Listen to Jesus' call to repentance, to do the maintenance, to upgrade your lighting, because He cares for you and He loves you. And I think the second lesson for this morning is an interesting little case study, isn't it? About what happens when people don't follow Jesus, the light, and when they don't do that ongoing maintenance of repentance. Look what happened to them. Paul wrote, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some from Chloe's household, have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this, one of you says, I follow Paul, another I follow Apollos, another I follow Cephas, and still another I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Paul doesn't say, not a big deal, guys. You know, just let it go. You're doing fine in so many other ways. He says, no. There's some maintenance that needs to be done, and it has to happen now. And you like how this goes? Look how noble this is. Well, I follow this pastor. I follow pastor. And then you see the Jesus people in the group. Well, I follow Christ, and so I get to treat anybody however I want. And Paul said, what are you guys missing out on? You guys are missing out on the cross of Christ, the power of your salvation, what is really to unite you, what is really the light of your world. And so he calls them, guys, let's do the maintenance, turn from this, and let's focus on Christ. Because what else wasn't happening when they were caught up in this? There probably wasn't a lot of fishing going on. When they had these quarrels, they weren't being brought closer together. People were not benefiting in the way, and they were sinning against God. You know, when we hear that word repent, we think, okay, fine, I'll just go tell God I'm sorry at church, and then I'll be done. When really what the people heard when Jesus said the word, this is to be an ongoing process. This is ongoing maintenance. Constantly seeing, using the light, what is not okay in here? What is not okay with these? What is not okay in my mind and in my life? What is God calling me to turn from and why? He's calling me to turn from my sin. Why? Because He loves me. And He wants my relationship with Him strong again. And He wants me to follow Him. And He wants me to serve my brothers and sisters in Christ. And when we turn to the light, what do we see? We see the same thing that the Corinthians saw. We see the cross of Christ. where Jesus died to pay for all of our sins, whether it is some sort of quarrel, whether it is a refusal to do the maintenance, whether it is a refusal to realize that there is anything wrong in here, we find full and free forgiveness in Jesus. We find light in our hearts, light in what else, in what is otherwise a dark and sinful world. And then doesn't that make you want some relaxation time with Jesus? Not some lazy time, not some I don't have anything to do time, but some good relaxing time with him. Well, Jesus says, hey, let's go fishing. And the neat thing is, he doesn't ask you to leave your job. He doesn't ask you to leave home. He says, just go fishing right where you are. And I think sometimes that can be frustrating, can't it? Especially if you're like a fly fisherman and you can see the fish right there and you're doing everything you're supposed to be doing and you feel like, why don't I just grab the fish? Or why don't I just argue? Or why don't I just make my point and get this person to listen to me? But that's not the point of fishing, is it? Jesus says, I want you to tie a fly the way that you would tie it. I want you to find the people in your life and in your family who need Jesus. And I just want you to go fishing over and over and over again. And like, I'm with you. I have a hard time going fishing knowing I'm not going to catch any fish. But that's not the point, right? God wants us to go fishing and to share the word of God. You know, Jesus came as the light of the world. Why? Because the world can be a dark place. And the world can be a confusing place. And Jesus came as the light of the world to show us God's love, to show us forgiveness, to show us his love for us, and to show us heaven. And the world can be a difficult place to live in. So Jesus says, don't forget about your ongoing maintenance. Feed your faith with the word of God. Do the hard work of repenting, because that's how God grows our faith and brings us closer to him. And then he says, take some time to enjoy a relationship with him and do some fishing. And the neat opportunity we have to do that, you have another insert. It's insert number 2 leading up to Friendship Sunday. And fishing is not very hard. All he wants you to do is pray for someone. That's all you have to do this time to go fishing. And there's a sample prayer right on the flyer for you to use. Or you can come up with one of your own, tie your own fly, and do your own fishing. The point is, we get to spend some time with Jesus, with our friends and family, fishing. May God bless you as Jesus walks you through the darkness. May he bless you by being the light in your life. May he bless your ongoing maintenance. And may he give you some joy and relaxation as you follow him and go fishing for him. Amen. Please stand. We take a moment to strengthen one another in our faith by confessing our faith together. This morning we have the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 9. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Please be seated as we give our offerings to our Savior God. In our prayer of the church this morning, we have a number of special requests brought before you and that we will present to God from our brothers and sisters here at St. Mark's and from among our extended family. The Smithy family asks that we would pray for Josh Smithy, who will be deployed today, and so we ask that God would be with him and with his family. We will remember our pastor, Waterstrat, as he underwent a knee replacement surgery not too long ago, and he asked that we would remember him during his recovery, which is going fine. We've also been asked to pray for Steve Keeney. This is a friend of Steve Ennis, and Steve Keeney is recovering from a surgery as well. We've also been asked to remember Betty Bond, the mother of Sarah Bauer and former member of St. Mark's. Betty is having a third surgery to address her hip surgery, and the surgery is necessary due to a number of complications and infections, so we ask that God would be with Betty and also her husband, Mike, as Betty undergoes that surgery. And finally, a number of you have asked that we pray for our government, for our outgoing president and our newly elected president, and so we will remember them in our prayers as well. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you did not keep your Son hidden from us, but you have revealed him to us in the pages of Scripture. You have revealed him to us through the sacraments. We ask that you would let his light shine brightly in our hearts, through the darkness of the world that we walk through our difficult days and our trying times, through our guilty times, and through the days that we feel ashamed to call ourselves your children. Help us to see his great love for us and the way he came in fulfillment of every promise you ever made about him. Help us to see him as our Savior. We also ask that you bless us as we repent, as we turn to you. We ask that you would give us the strength to do so and the confidence to trust that we are forgiven because you went to the cross for us. Please bless our ongoing maintenance of repentance. We also ask that you would bless us as we share the gospel, as a congregation and as individuals. Help us to find patience as we do, and we ask that you would grant our efforts success so that more people too might have the comfort of the light we have in this life, and above all, the promise of heaven in the life to come. So please bless us as we reach out with your word. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be with Pastor Waterstrat and Steve Keeney and with Betty Bond. It is not always easy when we undergo physical pain, so we ask that you bless them and take care of them. Bless all those who are treating them and looking after them. We thank you that Pastor's procedure went well. We ask that you would bless Steve's recovery also. Dear Heavenly Father, as Betty has undergone some setbacks in her hip surgery, we ask that if it is your will that you would grant it success, that they would fix the situation and grant her a full and complete recovery. We ask that you would help her to stay physically strong and bless her husband Mike as he cares for her. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would walk with Josh Smithy as he is deployed. We ask that you would keep him safe. We ask that you would help him to serve our country and us well. We ask that if it is your will that you bring him home safely. We also ask that you would be with his family. Remind Stacy and their children that they have a church family here who loves them, cares for them, and is praying for them and Josh. So please bless Josh in his service. Dear Lord God, ruler of all, we commend our nation and all its leaders to your care. We ask that you would bless our outgoing president. We ask that you would give him and his family rest and the satisfaction of knowing that they served our country. We also ask that you bless our newly elected president, the members of Congress, and all officials who will serve in a state, county, or local government. Impress upon all who are in authority the sacredness of the responsibility you have placed on them. Give them the gifts required of leadership, wisdom to make laws that will bring order and justice to our society, and compassion for the downtrodden and the poor. We ask that you would purge our land from dishonesty and corruption in government. Teach us to honor all civil authorities as your representatives. Through stable government, provide throughout our land an atmosphere in which your church can do its work in peace. So we ask that you bless our government, and we thank you that we live in a country where we can share you freely. And we ask that you bless all of our efforts to do so. In your name we pray, amen. Our service continues with our next hymn. It's going to be stanzas 1, 3, and 5 of hymn number 90. Thank you. Please stand for our closing prayers. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated for our closing hymn, number 771.
Been wonderful worship with you here at St. Mark's this morning. Thank you for coming. I'm here to talk on behalf of the Board of Outreach, but I wanted to start with something. Yesterday morning I was here helping set up for Smibble, and I was going out back to get a push broom in the garage. When I walked out back, there was a rainbow up over the top of the campus, and I thought it was pretty neat. I took a picture. Some of you I think saw maybe on Facebook because I posted it on there. But it reminded me of a phrase that a teacher I knew used to say whenever he started his class every day, whenever he would start chapel with the student body, he would always start with a certain phrase. And I wanted to start with it this morning. And it goes like this. You have to do it with me a little bit. I say God is good. You say all the time. Can we try that? God is good.
All the time. Okay,
thank you. I might end with that too, so be ready. As I said, I've been working with the Board of Outreach, and we were working on a plan for 2017, I guess to say, to make outreach a priority at St. Mark's. And 2 weeks ago, I presented a plan for the months of January through August, kind of from the beginning of the year to Easter. And I did it in between services, and I asked Pastor this morning for a few minutes just to do a quick review. It's not going to be nearly as long as that was. But if you would like to watch the whole presentation, I was told that it is saved on our website under the videos. If you go to the Bible study section, you just find the Board of Outreach presentation and click on it. You can watch it. It starts with a little devotion by Pastor. It's about a half an hour long. Feel free to look at that for more information. But here's a quick recap. These are the things that we are working on, and we need your help to accomplish them. First of all, we would like to bring back the visitors table kind of out in the back there as you walk out to keep track of the visitors that are coming in. We're also going to be following up with them on Monday through emails and letters, and we're also going to be trying to get some surveys out to them and really ask them about what they liked about St. Mark's, if there's anything that we can improve on, just to get some feedback from the visitors. So those are the first two things on there. It says the visitors table and the first response team. If you feel that you would be interested in being at a table on Sunday morning right after church, handing out some little gifts, little thank yous for coming, just welcome them, introduce yourself. If you think you'd be interested in that, I have a sign-up sheet in the back, and I'd love for you to come back there after church today and talk to me a little bit more about it and sign up to help with that. We have two slots after every service, and we have for all the Sundays starting in February through Easter on that sign-up sheet. The first response team is going to be meeting on Mondays from 2:15 to 3:15. Now, I know that doesn't work for everybody. You wouldn't be committing to coming every single Monday, but if you're ever around, you're ever free, you're picking up children at school here, whatever it might be, and you think you could help out with that, we're going to be writing personal letters, we're going to be sending emails, we're going to have a little team set up. Right now it's myself and one other person, and we'll get it done if we have to, but if we had a few more hands, that would be wonderful. Continuing on the list on the TVs, we have in 3 weeks, we have a Friendship Sunday, an Outreach Sunday, and you've been seeing the bulletin inserts of focusing on inviting somebody and encouraging someone to come. We're also going to be putting out next Sunday some business cards that have the theme, which is what a friend we have in Jesus for that Sunday service. And we'd love for all of you to take some of those business cards. And if you know anybody that needs to hear about how Jesus is their friend, that Jesus is there for them, to hear about what Jesus has done for them, please hand them out. Leave them in different places where you think people would see them. One of the other areas that the Board of Outreach is focusing on is on social media, the internet, looking for different ways to do some marketing on our website. One of the things we've had feedback from the congregation is getting more young people involved in the congregation, young families, and we know a lot of them are on social media. So we've been putting some videos on social media. Pastor's been putting together for 2 weeks now a little invite saying, come and worship with us. This is what you're going to hear on Sunday morning. If you are someone who uses Facebook, please go to our website, or please go to our Facebook page and look for those videos and share them onto your social media pages so that people might see them and might come and worship at St. Mark's. We're also putting together some videos of some of the members here that have different stories about how they found St. Mark's and what they like about St. Mark's, and those are going to be showing up periodically on Facebook. We're also looking for ways that we might be able to put those into emails, because I know some of you don't use social media, but you use email. We're looking for ways that maybe we can get those videos to you in email, and then you can just forward them to some of your family and friends, neighbors that you may have, that you know, to get that video in their hands, inviting them to St. Mark's. The last two are probably the big ones. They're in March and April. There's a gentleman that kind of has been going around the wells. I think he's based out of Utah, and he has this plan that he thinks is the best way to go out and reach people in your community. You adopt kind of a neighborhood, about 1,200 homes, and you invite them different things. You kind of focus. He comes for a weekend, and he trains you on a Friday night, and then on Saturday you actually go out and invite these people to come to Sunday the next, or church on Sunday the next day, but then also to some sort of bigger event. And it just so happens that Easter is 3 weeks after the time he comes here. So we're going to be putting together a big Easter celebration, possibly on like a Saturday, maybe some kind of event at the school here. And then also on Sunday, we don't have all the details worked out. But what we need from you this morning is, at the minimum, we're looking for about 35 people that might be interested in participating on that weekend. It's March 24th and 25th. It's a Friday night. We'll supply supper. This gentleman will be here. He'll teach us how to carry out this this outreach event, going door to door and knocking on and inviting people to different to the Easter event here at St. Mark's. And then on Saturday, you come back and we go out to the community. Then we come back and meet up at lunchtime and regroup and have lunch. And then we go back out in the afternoon. And then we all come back and have a big celebration dinner and talk about some of the people we talked to and some of the successes that we had that day. And what the outreach committee is really hoping is that after that day, we'll have a good plan going forward where we can continue to do this on our own without bringing this gentleman back all the time. And going forward, we can go to different communities and different neighborhoods and invite them to different things also. That's March 24th and 25th. I also have a sign-up sheet on the back table for you to sign up on that. I have about, I think I have like 42 slots, and I think I have about 10 of them filled, so we have about 30 more slots to go. I was hoping this morning when I leave after late service that we'll have a lot of those slots filled. Dave, the gentleman that runs Praise and Claim, told me that even if you are nervous about going out and knocking door to door, he suggests that you come to the Friday night training because he said it just makes... It gives you some ideas of how you can bring up conversations with people about Jesus in your everyday life, and it just makes you more confident in that area. So, after church, I'll be on the back right. Maybe Jim Oswald, who is in charge of Praise Play, maybe he could be back there also with me if he has a few minutes. And he knows a little bit more about Praise and Proclaim than I do. And you can ask us questions about what we're doing, why we're doing it. You can sign up. So, that's all I have this morning. Thank you very much. God is good.
Thank you, Mr. Bengel. All my announcements relate to some type of an invitation or an encouragement. First of all, next Sunday we have an extremely important congregational meeting. We've been meeting a lot as a congregation lately, and the exciting part of that is that all of these meetings are with the intent of moving St. Mark's forward under God's blessing. This coming Sunday we have a congregational meeting that has two purposes. The first of which is our ministry boards will give a very brief update on what they've been doing and where they plan to go in the year to come. And then the second purpose is to begin the call process for a second pastor at St. Mark's. So everybody's encouraged to attend. We'll be meeting in the gymnasium right after second service. We're going to eat while we meet, a pizza lunch. So one thing you can do to help us this morning is if you plan to attend this meeting, there's a sign-up form in the back. If you sign up, that'll help us know how much pizza we need to purchase. So again, next Sunday, very important congregational meeting. Everybody's encouraged to attend. Two Saturdays from now, February 4th, we have our annual Play Day open house for our school, especially targeting young children coming into junior kindergarten and kindergarten. If you or somebody you know might benefit from attending that open house, Saturday, February 4th, 10 to noon, and there are little invitation cards like this at the school counter in the lobby. So please take as many of these as you'd like to distribute to people that you know. This one is a long way off. It's coming up at the end of April, but we're starting to get serious about planning our second annual St. Mark's Soiree school support function. It's a fun evening of good food, entertainment, auction, silent auction. We're going to add a dessert dash to the fun this year. This flyer contains information, and it also contains a sign-up form that you can purchase a ticket for attending the soiree. So if you plan to attend, the sooner you purchase a ticket, the sooner we can get a feel for how many people will be there. This flyer can be found at the school counter in the lobby as well. Our third and fourth graders have been working hard on their California mission projects. Those are on display in the gymnasium this morning, so if you have a few minutes, stop by the gym, take a look at their hard work. They always do excellent work on these mission projects as they learn about their state of California. Last thing this morning, we've got a monthly school video update that shows some of the fun we've been having in the last month. Please enjoy it.
brothers, sisters, let us gladly give to God our all our best. Service hearty, thorough, honest, with a living love impressed. All our duty, all our striving, all our time to Him belong. Praise Him then with true devotion. Come before Him with a song. By His mercy, by His bounty, by the gift of Christ His Son, what great goodness He has shown us, what high marvels He has done. Let us to Him promptly, freely yield our bodies and our souls. Thankful that His love protects us, that His wisdom all controls. Gracious Lord, accept our service for the sake of Christ your Son. Though our hope abides now only in the righteousness He won.
Mr. Bengel and I thank you for your time this morning. As you are dismissed, please greet one another. May God richly bless your week.